Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking about science, technology, engineering, and math education, otherwise known as STEM education, for the visually impaired.
Especially with computers being so accessible, science can be a great career for people with visual impairments. We'll speak with Rayshawn Dorsey, who founded and heads the WizKids Science and Technology Centers, about their programs to expose visually impaired youth to the wonder of science, technology, engineering, and math. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is, well, science can be a great career for people with visual impairments.
Even for sighted people, we need more scientists in this country. And, you know, the time to engage people is when they're young. And particularly visually impaired people, you know, they're notoriously underemployed. And people tell them, oh, you know, what can you possibly do? If they don't give them these positive role models to say, shoot, you can be a scientist. You don't have to work behind a counter, making sandwiches or something. And I think particularly computers are so accessible for blind folks these days. It takes a little bit more work to, you know, gather those skills, but they're so accessible. You know, I was never at a disadvantage relative to my coworkers.
That is awesome. So, yes, I'm really thankful that you guys allowed me to come on and speak today. That means a lot. Thank you. I hope that our program could continue to grow and, you know, just inspire as many students as we can. We're a small organization. Literally, it's my wife and I that run the business, and we get some help from volunteers and things like that, but it's really us. And so we hope to continue to move in the upward direction and try to impact as many as possible. Even after all that research, I was only able to find just a little bit of information on visually impaired scientists and engineers. Here in this day and age, you're not going to find it. So I'm hoping to change that. I'm hoping 10 years from now, someone may need to Google it, and it's pages of stuff coming up of students that have now, you know, they're computer scientists, they're engineers, they're astronomers, you know, astronauts, and we spark those individuals. So I just wanted to say that.
We've actually had several guests on Eyes on Success over the years who are blind scientists or engineers, or they're currently students studying science and engineering, because we want people to know that it's possible.
And in the rest of this episode of Eyes on Success, you'll hear the great work that Rayshawn is doing to encourage visually impaired people to get into sciences and show them that it really can be possible. Well, we know it's possible, but maybe others should also.
Let's start by meeting Rayshawn and learning a bit about the WizKids Science and Technology Centers that he founded and runs.
My name is Rayshawn Dorsey, and I am the founder of WizKids Science and Technology Centers.
Can you give us an overview of the WizKids Science and Technology Centers?
Definitely. So we started the organization in 2007 to introduce students from disadvantaged communities to science and technology. What we have found is that, you know, there was a huge gap in programs that were available to students from disadvantaged areas, economically challenged areas. We have found that the science and technology programs were thriving in schools in your more upper class areas. But yet we were noticing that, you know, these similar programs were non-existent within these public schools. If we look back then, there wasn't a lot of organizations that were going into these schools and working with these particular type of students.
What age children do you work with primarily?
Our programs are specially designed from kindergarten on the way up to 12th grade. Now, we have worked with a number of individuals that have graduated, so we do have a pretty extensive program for undergraduates as well.
And what is the mission of this program?
Our thing is, creating programs for students so that once they're exposed to something, you're typically left with what now? And so what we try to do is our programs for blind and visually impaired students is we try to fill that what now gap. So if they're exposed to something during the summer, there's reinforcement academies that they can go through during after school, during Saturday, where they'll be able to continue on these interests as opposed to just saying, hey, we want to give you this experience and just, you know, we'll see you next year when your group comes back. We want to create an ongoing learning model using real world scenarios. But what we're looking to do is really not just show students that, hey, you know, you're able to come in here, but put them on a pathway to making those type of dreams come true. Working with university and researchers to say, hey, what can we do to take, you know, these just smaller experiences and make them into lifelong learning experiences, things that they can get on the pathway to computer science, get on the pathway to chemistry, you know what I mean?
So do you do this as a supplement to the regular daily educational program in the school, or is this like a outside of school kind of program that you make available to the students?
This is an extracurricular program. So the students take part in the programs during after school, and we also host Saturday academies and summer academies. So typically a number of our programs are either held at the school. We partner with a number of universities here nationally, and we also offer residential camps where the students actually live on campus for several weeks. And during that time, they're, you know, taking part in different science and technology activities. So it's really trying to create not just the exposure to science and technology, but create a pathway into secondary education surrounding STEM and careers.
And STEM meaning science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yes.
I'm curious, how did you personally get involved in this organization?
Well, I've always enjoyed science and technology since I was a kid. I used to work in corporate America also. And just deep inside, I've always just wanted to work with youth. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. And where we grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, there wasn't much for kids like myself that did like science and technology. You know, the rec centers were filled with, you know, just sports. And, you know, I was just a science guy. And I just never forgot that, you know, I always wished that, you know, there was somewhere where we could go, either Boys and Girls Club, somewhere that was, you know, had these programs. And so I thought, you know, let's start a Boys and Girls Club for scientists. Let's start a YMCA that's just strictly caters to kids that like science and technology.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is STEM education programs for visually impaired youth. You said that this started out designed as a program for underprivileged youth, and that now you've got, I don't know if it's a sub program or a related program for youth with disabilities.
Yeah. So how did we get there? Right. So yes, we started out working with the particular type of group in which we still work with. And a gentleman that sits on our board, his name is James Dean. He's a retired NASA engineer from Johnson Space Center in Houston. And Jim actually developed a shuttle simulator, just the forward flight deck of a shuttle. And in doing so, he created it so that it was accessible to visually impaired students. And so when he told me about this design and that they had launched it in Lodi as a pilot, you know, we thought, wow, this may be something that we could include, you know, with our programming. And, you know, see if this is something that we can get kids here with visual impairments into the program. So to fast forward, we took the concept to the Center for Visually Impaired and let them know, hey, we have a full curriculum that could introduce students to, you know, just different mission control, things like that, due to the accessibility of the instruments that Jim had created. And during the conversation, the young lady, Annie Maxwell, who was actually the director of the STARS program at the time at Center for Visually Impaired, she was asking, you know, what else do you guys do? We think it's really nice, the astronomy and shuttle program. But she seemed to be more intrigued with the robotics aspect. And so she asked, you know, have we ever considered designing a program around robotics for the visually impaired students? And I told her, well, wow, you know, there's nothing that I could reference in doing so, so that it would definitely be a trial and error, but something that our team would be willing to do. And that's how it started.
And how did it work out with the robots? Kids usually love those.
We launched a workshop and we got several volunteers from the community, different universities and colleges in the area to help us to go into the Center for Visually Impaired. And we took in maybe 6 to 7 different robotic platforms. And these robotic platforms were anything from your basic Bobot, Tamiya Robotics. These were just a slew of different robot platforms. And when I say that, I mean like the base of the robot. You know, we wanted to see what the students felt comfortable using. You know, what could they actually build? How accessible or which platform could we actually make more accessible? And what we found was that this particular robot platform called the Lego RCX was a hit, because the RCX brick, the base in which you build the components on, had its studded features. You know, students felt more comfortable with that. They were able to actually build on that. And from there, it only took us to design activities around that. That's how it started. And from there, I guess, as we were hosting these workshops, we weren't receiving any federal funding. There was no money. I was working a part-time job and I would meet these kids after school on Thursdays. And, you know, it just started to grow.
Now, you eventually made some connections with the Georgia Institute of Technology. How did that come about?
We were picked up on the Georgia Tech's radar, and we were approached by a professor there. And she said, hey, listen, you know, what you're doing, we could possibly incorporate research as far as, you know, is this something that could actually excite students with visual impairments to get involved in robotics? And so with that, we thought, wow, why don't we take it a step further and see if we could actually design a programming language that's accessible to these students. And obviously we had to use instruments and software like JAWS, Magix, other type of tools that we can integrate with the robot so that it became a real learning experience. We hacked into a Wii remote to give the students a haptic feedback and auditory feedback. We used piano keynotes, so the students were actually able to build and program these robots once we had partnered with Tech. And, you know, these robots were able to complete different tasks, mazes, things like that. And it was primarily through auditory and haptic feedback.
Can you elaborate a little more on the partnership you've got going with Georgia Tech to do research on education of visually impaired students?
Yes. We received a grant from the National Science Foundation in collaboration with Georgia Tech. So the grant was a Broadening Participation in Computing. It's a BPC, National Science Foundation grant. And we were awarded in 2010 with Georgia Tech as the lead PI on that. And so what it was really just to introduce students with disabilities to robotics through computing, or ROPability. Accessible Robotic Computing, it's an acronym. But the grant has actually recently exhausted as of January of this year. So that particular initiative did last 4 years, and the grant allowed us to travel and work with different organizations throughout the country in, I guess, kind of fine-tuning the robotics and computing component.
In our area, we're in upstate New York. There's a regional competitive organization where they do robotics competitions for youth using the Lego robot platform. Do you have something like that in the Atlanta, Georgia area?
Definitely. So I've actually had several teams participate in the first Lego League, first robotic challenge, a number of those particular Lego leagues. But definitely, yes, I'm very familiar.
Robotics seems to be a particularly accessible form of science for visually impaired people, because as you say, with the Lego blocks, things are very tactile. Plus, when you're interacting with computers, I've always thought computers are great fields for visually impaired folks because they're very accessible these days with the screen readers and magnifying programs. That must work very well.
Works perfect. And yes, by being able to integrate those tools and using the human-computer interaction component, it's been a learning curve, but we've been able to really kind of hash down what works and what doesn't work. And so, you know, in doing so, you know, we partnered with Lego in during this endeavor. So they gave us a ton of support. But yeah, it is definitely moving more to be an accessible tool for teaching science and technology.
So this robotics program sounds fantastic, but according to your website, that's not the only program you've got.
The robotics was just the tip of the iceberg. Once we started with that, you know, we started to just play with other type of platforms out there as far as science and technology, and incorporating these tools, like you were mentioning, the magnifiers, you know, really going into just the tactile technology, things like that. We were able to just kind of piggyback off of these robotics programs and computing programs to where now students are doing biology. They're dissecting sharks. They're dissecting different mammal brains. And it's funny, we recently launched an initiative called the Flying Blind Aero Academy, and the students are called BATS. And BATS is an acronym for Blind Aviators Training Squad. And so what we've done is we've tried to introduce students to the world of aviation. See, Purdue did a study several years ago where they actually worked with several visually impaired pilots and wanted to see, you know, is this something that can fill this workforce gap, if you will, and train these new aviators, if you will. And so we thought, why don't we take it a step further and start working with these guys during middle school and high school, getting them up in planes and you know, creating accessible tools, tactile flight charts, things like that, to get the students interested in aviation as well.
Wow, how cool.
We're actually seeking federal funding now to actually design an accessible simulator for a Cessna that really is accessible for a blind or visually impaired youth to actually, you know, learn real fundamentals of aviation.
And this is such a great way of engaging particularly young people in science, because it can be so dry if you're learning it out of a textbook and just reading about it. But when you're doing hands-on science, Nancy and I have seen through our experience doing science experiments in the elementary schools with youngsters that they just get all fired up and they get so excited about doing their own experiment.
Yes, yes. The students absolutely love it. I mean, it's not so much just saying, hey, we're going to do this activity today, but we're doing activities that were once deemed as inaccessible for students with certain disabilities, to be honest with you. I mean, these students get to start dissecting, and, you know, it's just amazing to see where their mind takes them. It's been amazing. There's so much has grown just from introducing a few students to robots that it would be hard to imagine. It's been a really awesome, awesome experience. We have students now that have graduated high school and, you know, they come back and they, you know, they say, hey, we're doing audio game design. We're doing this. And it's because we were, you know, working with WizKids. And it's just really awesome.
How many students do you have in the program?
We work with roughly about 1,500 students. So it really depends, because our programs are ran seasonally, put it that way. So we'll have an after-school program running throughout the school year for maybe about 4 to 5 months. And then from there, we'll meet during the spring and then during our summer academies. And so we could have anywhere from 20 students to 48 students. It really depends on the capacity of the program that we're launching.
So you said some of your summer programs are a couple of weeks long. Do you have spaces for people from out of town, or are they all local kids?
Definitely. So one in general, an organization that we're working with now is the San Francisco Lighthouse. These particular students are coming from all over in California. There's been other participants that are coming in from different states that participate in their program. And so what we're doing is we're going to be adding the robotics and other science and technology components to their already existing chemistry. And I say that because I know that a number of students travel from different states to attend their programs. Here in Georgia as well, we've had a number of students come from other states to come and participate in our programs.
And towards the end of the program, we'll be talking about how people can attend these residential programs, even if it's not in their area.
So it sounds like there's some opportunity to clone what you've done so it can be used in other locations. Is that right?
That's exactly what we want to happen. So we started an initiative called the STEADY Academy. And STEADY is an acronym for Science, Technology, Engineering, Accessibility for Disabled Youth. And yes, our advisory board is actually made up of individuals all over the country that's in education, that's had background working with students with various disabilities. And right now, our Touch STEM initiative, which is particularly for blind and visually impaired, is the flagship program out of the STEADY Academy. And so that program in itself, we're working obviously here in Georgia and California. We've launched it in Colorado. And it's funny because we're talking to the National Federation of the Blind there in New York to actually model the program there. We're working with the New York Institute of Technology. There's a number of individuals involved as far as helping us to get that rolled out and introduced there. But we're very excited to definitely launch the expansion effort for the New York area.
So it sounds like you've expanded your programs tremendously just in the past few years. I'm wondering what some of your major challenges have been.
Well, some of the major challenges have been different organizations that cater to blind and visually impaired youth. Not every organization has the same model on training these particular youth. I mean, they don't. Some, like National Federation of the Blind, they may have a different model as opposed to Center for Visually Impaired. You know, one organization may shun the techniques of the other organization where they're having sighted buddies, you know, making sure that our activities are realistic and truly accessible for blind and visually impaired. And so, yeah, it's definitely been challenges that we've had, but those challenges we've been able to turn into opportunities as far as, you know, if this didn't work this way, you know, we'll find a way to make it work, you know, somehow. And so, yeah, we've definitely had a number of challenges.
So it sounds like most of your challenges have been interorganizational as opposed to how to make these things accessible and realistically feasible for visually impaired people.
Yes. And it's funny you say that, Pete. Yes. And that's exactly what we've run into. And I think that if the organizations that we've worked with can kind of just come together and say, this is the end result. We want to get visually impaired and blind engaged in science and technology. Let's work towards that and exclude the politics of their differences. I think more students would benefit than what we've recently had. Far more would benefit.
Boy, that program certainly sounds exciting. Makes me wish I was a kid again.
Now for this week's final item, plans the WizKids Science and Technology Centers have for the future and how you can learn more about it, including how to participate and or contribute. So if anybody listening to this program wants to either sign up as a student or maybe help you expand into another location, how would they contact you?
They can send an email to info@wizkidstech.org, and that's info at WizKids, that's WIZ like zebra, KIDZ like zebra, T like Tom, ECH.org. So it's WizKidsTech.org.
And is that your URL for your main website?
It is our URL for our main website. It's WizKidsTech.org.
Do you have a phone number?
Yes, sir, we do. It is 404-416-1826.
Do you have any openings now for new students?
Right now, we're recruiting students in the Georgia area for our Flying Blind Aero Academy, and we're taking students ages 12 to 17 for that particular program. We'll also be launching a recruiting effort for students in the San Francisco area for our September Touch STEM Academy in conjunction with the World Institute on Disability.
And what ideas are in the works for the future?
We started off by ourselves, to be honest. And, you know, slowly we were able to kind of get individuals involved that really believed and could grasp our vision and help us move in that direction. Now our initiative with students with disabilities far outweighs what we've started, because now we've grown into working with students with ASD, students with orthopedic impairments, and it's continuing to grow. We have a very strong research and development component that's currently working on ways to increase Braille literacy. We'll be working with Carnegie Mellon and Disney Research.
And where does most of your funding come from now?
So most of our funding comes from different avenues, different fundraising efforts. We're recently funded by Google, Lego Education, private donors. Our National Science Foundation was our first federal grant. It just varies.
And in addition to those funding sources, I gather you've also got a current campaign on Indiegogo?
The campaign is a fundraising effort to help us expand the program on the West Coast. So if there's any, I guess, listeners that would like to support the program, they can go to Indiegogo.com and search Touch STEM, and you'll see our initiative there.
And as usual, we'll have links to all of that contact information as well as the full link to Indiegogo if you want to learn more at our website in the show notes for this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
In addition, on our website, if you've been listening to this show as a podcast, you will find detailed instructions on what you need to do in order to continue listening to this show as a podcast. There are some changes that you'll need to make.
Those changes affected some listeners, but not all. But if you're in the category that did get affected, you'll want to know how to keep getting the podcast.
That's it for show number 1432. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about conditions and services for the blind in Malaysia. One of the joys of doing this program is that we get to meet people from all over the world, and we get to talk about how we do things similarly and how things are different. And next week, we'll be speaking with Moses Chu, Executive Director of the National Council for the Blind in Malaysia, about what things are like there for the blind. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.